Ezekiel?
I'm sure I could work Ezekiel into this, but I think we're studying the book of 2 Peter. In particular, we're in chapter 3. All right.
You reread it all.
Is anybody learning anything in class? Are things starting to make a little bit more sense? I hope so, especially because we run across phrases like, this is of first importance. Well, if it's of first importance, I mean, that's something that I need to pay attention to, isn't it? Now, when we got into chapter 3, and I said that we had been building on this, we've already talked about the fact that we have to be aware of false prophets and false teachers, correct? Who introduce and teach strange heresies. This is not the only place that this is referred to, the last days, and what it's going to be like. And sometimes it's talked about as being the doctrine of demons, and that they're teaching and so on and so forth. It kind of worries me. I mean, I'm seeing things out there today that I would not consider these individuals Christians in any way, shape, or form, even though they claim to be Christians, that are teaching things like Jesus was gay. Okay? There is a fringe movement that is doing that. God is non-binary. Well, if God is non-binary, why does he always refer to himself in the masculine? Okay? As far as I know, God doesn't have a sex, but he always refers to himself in the masculine. Jesus is always referred to in the masculine. The Holy Spirit is always referred to in the masculine. Okay? Never in the feminine. We got an awful lot of strange teachings that are coming out there to support strange opinions and doctrines, those that are contrary. So we need to be on the lookout for them. The purpose of this letter, again, is to stir them up by way of reminder. And we've spent a lot of time talking about why we need to remember things. Let me ask you something. Just rough guesstimate. How long was it from the time of Moses on Mount Sinai to Malachi? To the time of Jesus. How about that? Roughly 1,500 years. Roughly 1,500 years. How long was it between Adam and Eve in the garden and the flood? Memory serves me correct, it was about 1,472 years. I'd have to go back and do the calculations out of Genesis chapter 5 again. How long has this country been around? 250 years. How many things do you think have been forgotten about our founding forefathers in 250 years?
Most all of it.
I've seen and heard some individuals standing up and saying that the motto that was part of the American Revolution actually came out of the Civil War, which was, don't tread on me. And wasn't it, what, Nathan Hale or Thomas Paine that actually uttered those words? Don't tread on me. When the snake that's cut up into all the different parts, black snake, yellow flag, each one of the states of the 13 colonies, but that came out of the Civil War. That didn't come out of the American Revolution. I totally forgot where it came from and what it's associated with, because don't tread on me is a racist statement. It had nothing to do with racism. Okay? Had nothing to do with it. People have taught for years various different things. I don't want to be political, okay? But some of the things they've taught have been in error. And they have rewritten history to align with their beliefs now. Do you think that anyone could possibly do that with the Word of God? Now, getting back to Moses, the Word of God with Moses on Mount Sinai, up until Jesus' death on the cross, what words changed? What promises changed? Not a single one of them. Over 1,500 years, God's word didn't change. Did people try to change it? Did people try to add to it and subtract from it? Did people believe what they had to say? The things that were added to and subtracted from it? Yes. Did people live by this extraneous material? Yes. But what was the standard that they were going to be held to? What God said. How far are we removed from Christ upon the cross? Roughly 2,000 years. Have people tried to add to or take away from the teaching of Christ and the apostles? Do they try to tell us that, hey, you need to go back to the old ways and become a Jew first? We've been dealing with that all the way through the book of Acts as we've studied it. Become a Jew first before you can become a Christian. You have to be circumcised. You have to obey the law of Moses. You have to do this. You have to do this. No. That's not what Jesus taught. That's not what the apostles taught. That it wasn't for the Jews only, but also for the Gentiles, for the Greeks, for the barbarians. Plain and simple teachings. People out there twist and distort all the time. Plan of salvation. What constitutes a sin? How God's going to do things. Even the very character and nature of God. Do people believe it? Yes. Are they being led astray? Yes. Does it matter what they say or what God has revealed? What God has revealed. See, because they have forgotten along the way. We need reminders. We need reminders of the truth. Right? We need reminders of what is true and what is right. Peter writes this to stir them up by way of reminder. He pulls from the authorities of God's word, through the holy prophets and the apostles, and through Christ. God is the ultimate authority behind all of this. Those in the first two verses of this chapter. How many promises has God ever broken, regardless of the amount of time that has transpired? Not a single one. Okay? So, verses 3 through 7. Know this, first of all. Wrap your minds around this. As I read through this, again, ask yourself, does this sound like the days that we're living in? Right? Does this sound like the modern world? Know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And I think we went through some of this. What is to be known first of all? What is he trying to stress here? What did I just spend in the first 10 minutes of class saying about God's word? It's the same, and it's going to be fulfilled. It's the same, and it will be done just as God says. When God, in Hebrews, it says that by two things, I'm trying to remember the exact word, two unalterable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. He swore by himself what was going to happen. And God can't break his word. If God breaks his word, if he breaks a promise, is he God anymore?
He changed his direction and his mind, so how do you classify that?
Did he ever break his promise?
If he said he was going to do something and he changed his mind, what was that?
Okay.
It was incongruent with his, like in the Old Testament, Hesed is his unending love and grace and mercy. So, for example, he told Moses that he was going to wipe them out. They're going to be like dust. And then Moses prayed and asked God to relent. Not to break his promise, but to show that he was a God of mercy.
Okay. But did he wipe them out?
No, it was kind of a contingent. These people are stubborn, stiff-necked, as they're described in the New Testament. And then
and he said it. He said it. Look, I want to wipe them all out, and I'm going to raise up from you children. And Moses said, no, 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 no. Did he wipe them out? Had he promised before that he wasn't going to?
They were all, the first generation all died in the wilderness, except for Caleb.
Well, I'm thinking about when Moses bantered with God about destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. What if there's 50? What if there's 40? What if there's 35? And
in that, did God ever break? He said, if there's 10.
I'm not trying to say that he broke his word, but he changes his mind.
God already knew there weren't even 10. He says, if you can find 50, okay. But there ain't 50. If you can find 40, okay. But there ain't 40. God already knew what he was going to do. Well, what if there's just 10? Sure. Sure, if there's just 10. God already knew there weren't 10 in the entire city. So did God break his word in any of that? No. Did God ever break his covenant with Israel? I mean, I know that we talk about the fact that he divorced them.
They broke it.
They broke it, yes. But God's covenant with Israel, there's a feller, what was his name? Haggai? Was it Haggai? It was one of those H guys. Haggai? Yeah, I think it was Haggai. Hosea. Hosea. There's three H's. Hosea, Habakkuk, and Haggai. Hosea. Hosea, God tells him to do what? What's he supposed to do? Marry a prostitute. Hey, that's a wonderful thing. God, you want me to go be joined with a prostitute? What does she do?
She has two children.
What?
She has
Okay, and then what does she do?
The betrayer of Israel is to God.
How did she betray? Who did she betray? What did she do? She went back to her people and started being a prostitute again. What did God tell him to do? Go get her, discipline her, and make her your wife again. Why did God go through all of that? Now you touched on it already. What is that an illustration of?
Him taking Israel back.
Him taking Israel back, even though they broke covenant over and over and over again. He said, I'm going to divorce you. But did he ever close the door that they could not repent? No. God has never broken his word. If God breaks his word, if he breaks his oath, he is not God. What is your faith in? What do you believe in? What is it we're all striving to get to? How do we know that there is a heaven? Because God said so. Right? That there is a heaven. How do we know how to get there? Because God has told us in the Bible. Is it attainable? How do we know? Because God says so. If God breaks his word in one thing, is it possible he can break it in another? If he breaks it over here, could he be lying to us or breaking his word about whether or not we can get to heaven? Or whether or not there actually is a heaven? If God ever breaks his word, he breaks trust. He breaks, another word for trust is faith. Have you ever been around somebody and say, look, I can't trust you no more? I can't trust you. Why? Because you broke your word to me. You said this and did that. I can't trust you. If God breaks his word in this, he can break his word in that. A saying that I grew up with, I heard several times after too. If I can't trust you in the little things, how can I trust you in the big things? Right? We're supposed to be able to put our full and complete trust in God. So his word, his oath, his covenant, his pledges, they all come true. They have to. Because if they don't, how can I put my faith in God? In anything? Well, you can trust me in this over here. You just can't in this over here. No. It don't work like that. You can trust me to tell the truth, even though I've been found out lying before. Don't make a lot of sense, does it? So, know this first of all. What God says is going to happen is going to happen. What are the last days in the context of the letter? Well, in the context of the letter, and we touched on this a little bit, he's dealing with a fiery judgment. We're talking about when this world is going to be utterly destroyed. Do you not believe that this world is not going to be utterly destroyed? It and everything in it. Everything. Utterly destroyed. It's going to happen. When, I don't know, but it's going to happen. What escapes the mocker's notice? Notice what it says here. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice. Verse 5. How did the world exist long ago? By water and
by the word of God. That
by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, in the water, and what else happened? It was destroyed by water. Can't do it tonight. The next time we have a nice thunderstorm come through, rainstorm, good shower in the middle of the day, I want you to go outside and I want you to look up into the heavens and tell me what you see. What do you think you'll see? Anything else?
After the rain is finished,
mm-hmm.
It's very clear.
Rainbow.
A rainbow.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not saying.
Have you seen a rainbow?
Yeah, but I don't see them every time. I wish I did. It's just not visible from, where I am.
What is a rainbow?
That's a promise.
A promise of what? When was that put into effect?
After the flood.
In the days of Noah, how many thousands of years ago was that promise made? And we still can go out and look and see the seal of that promise because God put his bow in the heavens and said, I'm not going to destroy the earth again by water. I bet you never looked at a rainbow in that regard, right? Normally we're going, hey, where's the end of it so I can find the leprechaun and get all his gold.
May I ask you a question? What do you think that it means when the Bible said, this is the New King James, and mine reads a little differently. But by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. What does that mean?
Go back to Genesis chapter 1.
He parted the waters.
From the ones above and the ones below.
Yeah.
And then what did he say? For dry land. The waters receded. So dry land appeared out of the waters. And how did he do it? By his word. Let dry land appear. Let the expanses be separated. Let this. And that's the way I would look at that. The earth was formed by his word. Let there be light. Let this happen. Let that happen. The waters were gathered into one place. How? By his word. Gather over there. Gather over here. Let dry land appear. Let vegetation be formed. It exists. Why? God says, you're going to exist. until such point in time as God says what? Days of Noah, he said, let the fountains of the earth spring forth, let the heavens above open up. It's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and Noah, you better be in the ark. That was all by God's word. How do you think judgment is going to come? It's going to come like a thief in the night. But God's going to say, it's time.
No one knows except him.
Nobody knows except him. But he's going to say, it's time. The earth was destroyed then by his word. And by his word, it's going to be destroyed again, this time with fire. Man can't control it. Only God can. So, what escapes the mocker's notice? Number one, the fact that God's word cannot be broken. And number two, the fact that God has already said before, I'm going to destroy the earth. How many people survived in the days of Noah? Eight. How many people does he say is going to survive this next go around?
Zero.
None will be left of this heaven, or these heavens, and this earth.
I don't understand. It says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which of heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt, and with intense heat. Which heavens is he talking about?
These. These.
Earth isn't heaven.
Go out tonight and look at the stars. They are in the heavens. Go out and look at where the birds fly and where the planes are. Those are called heavens.
Okay.
All of that's going to be the universe, the multiverse. If you're into Marvel comics,
Iron Man,
all that kind of stuff. Yeah, Thanos doesn't get to snap his fingers, and Doctor Strange doesn't get to bring us back into another continuum. All of that's gone. All of it's gone. Everything created.
So then God's heaven comes then.
The only heaven that remains and that there is access to is that spiritual heaven where God's throne is.
That's God's.
Right. That's it. Okay. And remember, these are physical descriptions of heavenly things, much like Revelation is. But it escapes their notice. How many people do you know today that are walking around out on the streets that actually consider the fact that there is going to be a complete and utter destruction of this earth? That they think about it every day. Or maybe not even every day. Once a week, once a month, once a year. I think there are some people that haven't contemplated it in years. That there's a heaven and that there's a hell. No, we're just too busy trying to get by day to day. Everything keeps going on just as it has since the time of our forefathers and creation. What has happened ever since forefathers and creation? Let's see. You're born. You grow up. You might find you somebody that's a sweetie and you get married to them. You have kids. You work. You eat. You sleep.
Work some more.
You got to work some more in there. Eventually you die. And what happens? The next generation is born. It grows up. Finds a sweetie in some cases. Gets married. Has kids. Works. Eats. Sleeps. Works some more.
No, they don't work.
And dies. But you see the cycle. You see the cycle. Everything has gone on just as it was before. There's always been earthquakes. There's always been floods. There's always been this. There's always accidents happen. People live. People die. That's the way it is. There's nothing that has changed. That's the same message that Solomon has in the book of Ecclesiastes and living a life without God. Nothing new under the sun.
It's just in a different package.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, did it escape their notice that God sent his son to die on a cross? Well, he's just another man that died. They overlooked the fact that, yeah, that was something new, because by his teaching and following it, we can actually enter into heaven now. Oh, no, it's all the same. You're born, you grow up, you get old, you die. You're born, you grow up, get old, you die. I'm sorry, but if that's all I've got to look forward to, take me now. Take me now. That's what escapes their notice. It escapes their notice that there is a God. By his word, the present heaven and the present earth are being reserved for fire. And again, I come back to this question. Has anything changed in regard to his word? No. Not one thing. You know, there were prophecies that were made over 400 years before they came to pass. Were the prophecies fulfilled? Yes. God gave his word that it's going to be this way. Did it happen in that moment, in that instant, right before the individuals in that day and age? No, it took him 400 years. Did it mean that the prophecy was wrong? No. God works in his time and in his way. Does that make sense? But we get down on our knees at night to pray, if we can bend our knees. They're a little stiff beside the bed sometimes. And we pray, God, we need some help. We need some deliverance. We got some issues down here that we need taken care of. Lord, please make everything better for us. Do you think that God says yes or no? I think a lot of times he does say yes. And we get up the next morning and we go, God, nothing's changed. So we get down, God, prayed to you yesterday. I'm praying to you again. Make some changes around here. We get up the next morning. Has it changed? No. Does that mean that God isn't working and God isn't answering prayers? And that God, in his time. In his way. Maybe the changes that we want are not in accordance with his will. Maybe what we think is the right thing to do isn't. You know, there are some things that I have prayed. Didn't see fulfillment on them for years later. Did that mean that God wasn't working towards it?
Used to tell me, put it in God's to-do box, he'll handle it.
When he gets around to it. He's a busy feller, you know. Not that he can't do it all at once, but sometimes what we need is to learn a little patience.
Yeah.
We don't live in a world that appreciates patience. We live in a, I want it now, instant gratification.
And why do you think that is?
You know, a lot of it has to do with how connected we are in the instantaneous passing of information.
That's part of it. I'll go a little deeper with you. How many years do we have upon this earth? Which is 70 years. Anything over that is a blessing and everything else, but you know, hey. We've got a set number of times, or years on this earth, don't we? And we know it. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm 58 years old. It's hitting me very hard right now, even though I keep it in, to look at my mama and my daddy and know that the next time I see them may be the last. Right? I can't imagine a world without them. I am their oldest son. I forget that they are 20 years older than I am, especially considering the fact that I can remember my mom and my dad when they were my age. And that wasn't very long ago. Right? So if they're going to go, what's going to happen to me? Well, what's going to happen to me? Eventually, I'm going to go. And then I got Wesley over here, and I'm going, wait a second, I got all this stuff that I need to shovel off on him and all this knowledge and wisdom that I want to try to instill in him, and how much time do I have it, because the days are getting shorter and shorter and shorter.
You get worked up.
You do.
You have more time behind you than you do ahead of you.
Yes. And each tick of the clock is less time in front of us and more time behind us. And guess what? I got to get this stuff done now. I can't wait around. I can't be patient, God. It has to be now. I have to be witness to it. I need to experience it now. Instead of saying, you know what? God, I ask you to make things better. How are you going to make things better, Lord? How are you going to make things better? I keep following you. I keep doing what you say. How are you going to make... Oh, wait a second. You got all eternity afterwards to make things better. God doesn't function on our time scale. He's going, yeah, I can make things better for you. Follow me. Steadfast, true, it's coming, and things will be better on the other side, won't it? Because he promised it. Verse 8, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. Your question from last week, don't let this fact escape your notice. What have we been talking about? With God and time.
He's in control.
He's in control. Does he operate on our time schedule?
No.
One day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. Way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Somebody got that? Somebody read Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15.
And I will make enemies of you and the woman and of your offspring and her descendants. He shall bruise you on the head and he shall bruise him on the heel.
This is the first messianic prophecy that we have recorded in Scripture. A curse against Satan, against the serpent of old. Who is supposed to crush his head?
Jesus.
Jesus. That was made in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. While Adam and Eve were still in the garden, when was it fulfilled? What? When did Jesus crush the head of the serpent?
His resurrection.
At the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. How many thousands of years? Because he took away the power of death and sin. How many thousands of years did it take? How many generations? Did God fail in that promise? No. A day for God is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. When I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. It may not be in your time frame, it'll be in mine.
And I have another question.
Okay.
Out there, smart bitch.
Okay.
Okay, if that is the case, then Zachary, did he actually make everything in 7 days? Because one day is 1,000 days to him.
We're getting into theistic evolution. I love this. Theistic evolution. The Hebrew word yom, and that's the word for day in the Hebrew. A lot of people try to redefine it over and over and over again. Let there be light. There's light. And then what does he say happens? There was
evening and morning.
Evening and morning.
The first day,
yom. Then he says, let's divide the expanses and all. And then he says what? There's evening and there's morning. The second day. The third day. The fourth day. The fifth day. All of those are yom. Yom is a 24-hour period. Let me ask you something else. Just something to ponder. On what day did he cause the vegetation to sprout forth and grow?
Third.
What did he create on day four? Sun, moon, and stars. Now, I'm going to confer with an expert here for a minute. What do plants need in order to grow?
They need sunlight, water, and air.
Sunlight, water, and air.
And soil.
Sunlight. So if on day three he created the plants, and it's 1,000 years, or if you want to be more evolutionistic, thousands upon thousands, 1,000,000 years, he created the plants then, but he doesn't create the sun, which is needed for photosynthesis, for thousands or millions of years later. What's going to happen to all them plants? I'm sorry, when it comes down to the 6 days of creation, I am a literalist. I am a literalist. God said it, it happened, boom. Plants can go one day without sunlight.
But there was light.
There was light, but there wasn't a sun, moon, and stars. To govern the seasons, plants operate off the seasons.
Currents of the water.
All of that stuff.
Well, I'm not a literalist because I'm listening to the farmer's question. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter. My faith tells me that God has revealed something I can understand in a list of days.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about 1,000 years as one day, we don't know how long it took him. You want to say it's a 24-hour day? I don't know about that, but it's. But neither one of us has to know right now. We'll know someday.
I will tell you that it was probably under 150 years, by fact. How old was Adam when they had Seth? Genesis chapter 5. I believe it was 150 years. Seth came after they were kicked out of the garden. Seth was the one that was born. They had already raised two boys that were old enough to go work, and one of them killed the other. It wasn't thousands of years. Otherwise, God lied about the generations. In Genesis chapter 5, Adam was however many years old when they had Seth. Seth was how, and then they had other sons and daughters after these. Seth was however many old it was when he had his son. They had sons and daughters. Boom, boom, boom. You go all the way up to Methuselah and up to Noah. And there's only in that about 1,472 years. Again, I have to check that again. Before the flood. So how long do you think that Adam was in the garden with Eve?
I have no idea.
We don't, but I don't think it's very long at all. Again, Adam was however old when they had Seth. It's not millions of years. The idea of millions and thousands of years was introduced, and by the way, we are way over time, was introduced not from Scripture, but of critics of Scripture by scientists who want you to believe in evolution. They're not concerned about the accuracy of the Bible. They're trying to throw out their ideas and make their ideas work.
You said something about that earlier, false prophet.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go. Any other questions? I'm sorry I went too long. Rick's already fallen asleep in the back. If there's nothing else, would you bow with me, please? Our Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before your throne of grace and mercy, so thankful for the day that you blessed us with, so thankful for all the blessings that you've given us, so thankful, Lord, that you keep your word in every, as we depart from here and go our separate ways.